For I hear the hearts of my people. And I'll slip you into intercession. By my grace, says the Spirit of grace. Stay in this place of honoring me. Stay in this place of honoring me. And I'll bring these things to pass that I've placed in you for decades.
Hallelujah. Well, we've pretty much had church. Hallelujah. We had a good time Sunday. It was really so good. And we'll be back this Sunday and Sunday night in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just going to share a little bit from the Word. It's simple tonight, but still it's remind us of some things that where we need to be on this journey. And hallelujah. Father, we just worship you. Daddy God, we love you. It's our heart intent to honor you, Father, to stay in this place that you provided for us, as in, Lord, the outpouring, the kingdom which is to come in fullness. We praise you and we thank you, Father, that you bring us forward. We place our faith and our trust in you because you're the one that has brought us this far. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our salvation. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord, because we know that if we don't stop, we're going to see the fullness of this thing come to pass. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember the former days when I was coming into this, and what was going on, and as far as the transitioning period of, when I say the transitioning period, excuse me, when I deliberately started spending a lot of time praying in other tongues and listening to Pastor Dave, when I was coming into sound doctrine and passing from one place, you know, it's tough sometimes. It really is. It's kind of shocking. It can be tough on the flesh once you begin to pray a lot in the Holy Spirit and meditate the Word of God. Sometimes you come to places where you thought you knew something, and then the Holy Spirit begins to open your eyes, and you begin to see, I didn't know what I thought I knew. And that's where we have to stand in a place of just receiving grace. And I remember, I don't know if it was exactly after I started on this, I had done some counseling with, a friend of mine is actually a cousin, and he was involved in some things that really, really will send you to hell. And I hate to say that, but that's the truth. But, you know, when you're believing one way and then the Holy Spirit switches you, you've got to be honest with that. And somebody asked me to give him a call. I don't know who it was. They said, this guy's in poor shape. And he'd always confessed. He'd always been in the church, but just a lifestyle that just doesn't fit Scripture. And I remember, was thinking about this the other night, how that I was doing some counseling with him and trying to help him, you know, get through some things. And well, the counseling wasn't right. And but once you begin to pray in tongues a lot and read the Word of God, then you realize, you find out what the truth is and what the Scripture says. And sometimes you have to call people back if you love them and be lovingly, you know, blunt with them. And I had to call this guy back and I said, you know, really, basically, I was wrong. And the counsel I gave you, however long that was, that I don't know if it was a year or two, whatever, I said, you can't do these things. You can't do these things. And if you love people enough, you're going to tell them the truth. And if you see something, you can't unsee it. And that's how praying in tongues is and I remember from the beginning trying to piece a lot of things together when I would hear Pastor Dave talk about, and for those of you that have been on this walk with us a long time, you'll know what I'm talking about, and I'm not going to go back and explain, but like the little S's versus big S's in Romans 8, and what, you know, the Holy Spirit is talking about when Paul was writing there, and when he's talking about our spirit versus the Holy Spirit. And, you know, when you're coming out of a lot of religion, you're struggling with a lot of things, and you're thinking, wait a minute, has he got this right or what? But then you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, do the things that you're instructed of, and you begin to say, this is truth. This is absolute truth. It was the same thing with Romans 7 when begin to hear that Romans 7, and I'm kind of throwing some things out that deserve a whole lot more teaching, but that Romans 7 was not a guy that was a Christian struggling with his flesh. You know, if you read Romans 7 and believe it as a Christian struggling with their flesh, there's a lot of room to do stuff. And there's a lot of room for excuses. But when I begin to hear Pastor Dave preach on these things, teach on these things, and pray a lot in the Holy Spirit, I thought, wait a minute, this is truth. This is absolute truth. So when I say all that, I say this. My foundation was, I'm just kind of giving you my testimony. My foundation was sound, but there were a lot of things that God began to change in my doctrine. So let's talk about the importance of God's Word for just a bit tonight. And then I'm not going to keep you long, but let's keep I want to drill in you the importance of how important this Word is, coupled with praying in the Holy Spirit. Sound doctrine or teaching, what is sound doctrine? Sound doctrine is teaching. It's teaching by the Word of God. Is the foundation of revival. Without this, there's no foundation for revival. And if a revival does start and you don't have this and have a sound foundation in this, being the Bible, it won't last very long, because the enemy will come in and he'll destroy it through a lot of different things. Without Scripture, there's no place for sound doctrine to be built. Paul said this. You can turn to these scriptures. This is just kind of a devotional tonight. Paul said in 2 Timothy, I'll give you time to turn there, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. He's instructing his spiritual son Timothy in the Scripture and trying to place inside of him how important it is for him as the pastor and the head elder at Ephesus to continue to pour into people the importance, and pour into Timothy the importance of God's Word. Well, Paul acknowledges something concerning Timothy and building him up in 2 Timothy, verse 3, verse 15. He says, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, or the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And he said this, and this is something that if we'll understand this and value this, it'll guide us in our journey into revival and our continual journey on a daily basis. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word, actually the Greek says it's God-breathed. Can you grasp? It's hard for me to grasp, but this is God-breathed. You hold in your hands 66 books that are God-breathed. Even the boring ones are God-breathed. And Paul's getting over to Timothy how important it is for him to understand. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, the first thing he says, doctrine. Doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And he says this, you're close to this. This is, you're in 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy says this, 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But listen to what he says, and this is why it's so important for us to continue to build on the word. Because what we see in the church today, church at large, is there are so many things being taught that are just absolute. Paul calls it another place where we have the scripture here, they're fables. It's absolute fables. But Paul said this to Timothy, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. The word exercise thyself is G. This is in the Strong's. It's G1128-1128, and it is the word gymnazo, and it means, not to be weird here, but it means to exercise without clothes, naked. I hate to say that word in church, but nevertheless, it's okay. It meant to Paul, because he's speaking of the games, the Olympic games that took place in Ephesus, and he's talking about that those that would go, the wrestlers, the fighters, they would go there, and there was a place called the palaestra that they would fight at. Though it sounds weird, and I don't want to get weird here, we certainly don't want to, but he was saying that these would train, they would fight without anything to grip, anything to get a hold on. And he was giving them Timothy was saying, strip off, not physically, but in the spirit, don't let there be anything in which the enemy can grab a hold of your life. And especially when it comes to wives' fables or things that would come into the church that would try to generate a reasoning that would be outside of the Word of God. And this is why the Word of God is so vitally important. Somebody said, well, I got the Holy Spirit. He's going to be the one that guides me. He is. He's God. We acknowledge Him as God. We love Holy Ghost. But the same Holy Spirit that we acknowledge is the one that wrote this. And somebody said, well, I just, all I need is the Holy Spirit. He'll guide me. He'll convict me. He'll direct me. Well, then why do we have this? We have to have both. Amen. That's simple. But listen to this concerning the word. I'm just giving you some things concerning the importance of how important it is to read and to meditate God's word. Psalms 119, you can just write this down or you can turn there. Verse 9 says this, wherewithal shall a young man, the psalmist said this concerning the word, and that whole 119th chapter is all about the word of God. I think it's 176 verses, something like that. I might be wrong, but it's all about, almost every verse contains precepts, word, thy law. Wherein shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And he said this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Hallelujah. It's so important that we get the word of God in us. Yes, the Holy Spirit will convict us, direct us, but it's so important that we have the Word of God in us so that the Holy Spirit has a lot. He has an index there to say, look, this is truth. Don't transgress truth. What kind of premium did Jesus put on the Word of God? You don't have to turn there. I'm just kind of, as I said, this is more devotional than anything tonight. Luke chapter 4, verse 3, this is when Jesus was face down, when the enemy tried to face him down in the wilderness with temptations. And this was Luke's rendition of when the devil came at him to say, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all of these things. I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Jesus said this, this is familiar to most of you, but I say this so that you get a premium of the word of God, how important it is to stake your entire spiritual life on speaking the word of God and your retaliation against the things that are coming at you physically, emotionally, whatever. Jesus did not retaliate the enemy based on logic. He didn't think himself through the situation. Yes, the Holy Spirit will give you his reasonings. He'll give you wisdom. But the initial, when you're fighting a battle, this is what Jesus said to the enemy. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus answered and said, answering him, said, saying, it is written. And then he quotes an Old Testament, it's out of Deuteronomy, what was written. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. This is so important that we understand. This is our Christian life. We live by every word of God. Hallelujah. Even the ones that seem insignificant have power to turn the enemy, to turn the battle. Hallelujah. Jesus did not retaliate with logic. I said that. But with it is written. Don't try to think yourself through it of your strength. Depend on the Holy Spirit. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you understanding to your mind. But don't try to figure it out. God has a logic. And it's the written word of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Human logic will create doctrine that is not from God. Paul warns against human logic, that it's not allowed, not to allow human logic and reasonings in the church. 1 Timothy 1:1 says, Paul was talking and he said, he was writing to Timothy, of course, both books to Timothy as the pastor at Ephesus. Paul, an apostle, this is 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son, of course, spiritual son, not physical son, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither, here we go again with the same word, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is of faith. So do. The word fable is the word mythos, and that is the word myth, or that which is fictitious in the Greek. Fables are being taught in the church today like never before. Not Aesop's fables, not crazy things, not weird things, not mythological things, but anything that is man-derived. It doesn't even have to be satanic. It doesn't even, but if the logic, apart from Holy Spirit, derives something and you begin to think on it long enough and you think, well, I think this is right. Without the teacher, you see, you got a book, but how many of you know you got to have a teacher as well? That's what school is. It's book and teacher. Pastor Dave used to say that he would give the example. I loved it. He said, if you had two, let's say, and I won't remember this correctly, but he said, if you had two college students, two young men, just graduated college, Bible college, and they both conspired and said, we're missionaries to the Amazon. We believe that we're missionaries. And he said they both went down, and they said, okay, you know, we're young men, we're in our 20s. You take one side, and I'll take the other side of the Amazon. And, of course, that thing is, I don't know, it's 1,000 miles long or whatever, I don't know, something, it's a long, and we're going to preach our way to the end, and I'll see you in 40 years. I might not see you on either side of the bank for 40 years, but when we get to the end, we'll meet. And they said, okay, both of them agreed. They said if they only had, let's say, a King James Bible, now, Amen. And a King James Bible. And Dr. Jim would be proud of me. Hallelujah. There are some others that I'll check a little bit and make sure. And hey, listen, if Gary Carpenter can use the Amplified, I'll use it. Hallelujah. I checked with Jim. Jim said the Amplified's a pretty good source. But anyway, this is what I stick with, okay, King James Version. But if we just use a King James Version and pray in tongues for the next 40 years. He said once they got to the end, they had the same Bible. They had, they evangelized throughout the Amazon. And when they got to the end, they met each other and they said, okay, how'd you do? They gave their victory reports and this, that, and the other. And then they said, well, you know, as you were going along through the years, through Scripture, what did you think about this Scripture? And they would blah, 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 sama, 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 sama. That's exactly what I got. Well, what did you think about this sama, 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 sama? That's exactly what I got. Hallelujah. Why? Because there's only one truth and there's only one Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus said this in John 16:13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. How can there be so many different interpretations of Scripture by preachers? And it's this simple. It's the same book, but different teachers. Hallelujah. Praying in tongues and the word sets you free from strongholds. Now, if you don't, back to what Jesus, when he said, it's written, it is written, it is written. How are you going to know what is written to say it's written if you don't know what is written? So, well, that's just a lot. Okay, can I get an amen? I already got some. Paul confronts, I want to just touch this for a little bit, and I might just exhort this, but Paul probably had more Old Testament scripture in him than all the other apostles, because he gives his pedigree and he said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. Well, they had to basically memorize most of the Old Testament. But we see in, and we'll just touch this a little bit, I can't really go into it too much, but turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. We're combining tonight just the importance of knowing the Word of God and also praying in other tongues, how important that is. In the book of Galatians, you see something incredible. You see two mighty apostles have a temporary confrontation that they're of truth, concerning truth. And Paul actually, when he's writing to the churches of Galatia, which was a province, he included this in the scripture, and there's a reason why he included it. It was not to condemn Peter or himself for the confrontation. It was basically to teach sound doctrine to the churches, and also, I think, to give a scriptural example of the understanding of Scripture. And then we see in another place, a strong place in Paul's life of where he received revelation knowledge. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul writes this, "And when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And other Jews dissembled themselves likewise with him, Inasmuch as Barnabas, that's his sidekick, that's the guy that came there to Antioch with him to teach and to minister, also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Well, the situation is here real quick is everybody was enjoying for a while, even, you know, Peter, Barnabas, they were all fellowshipping with the Gentiles, eating with the Gentiles. And then when certain ones came down from Jerusalem, from James, the circumcision, those that were of the circumcision, what meaning this, that they were the ones, they believed in Christ, but they said, you also have to, Gentile, whoever you are, you have to be circumcised to also be saved. And so they were including that. And then they also included the dietary laws of Leviticus and all the different things. And Paul saw this, and he saw that even his Christian brothers that were close to the Lord. Now, Peter had been, let's say this, Peter had some strongholds. And to me, it's kind of encouraging to see that apostle, even though, I mean, if Peter had strongholds and got past them, thank God there's room for us. So it was like 7 to 10 years, and you can look this up yourself because AI will tell you different things probably, but it was like 7 to 10 years after Pentecost that Peter went to, in the book of Acts chapter 10, where he goes to Cornelius' house, and he realizes that all came about by that vision that took place, and I'm skipping a lot of stuff. But Peter realized after he goes to Cornelius, which was a Gentile, a Roman centurion, and he gets saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and the whole house gets filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter realizes then he's set free from the strongholds of, hey, the Gentiles, they can be saved. And up until that point, he really had a stronghold inside of him, like not believing the Gentiles should even be ministered to. And he was the first minister to preach to the Gentiles, and that's where the Gentile world began to receive the gospel. Well, that's another story in itself. That's something else, and I digress. But here in this chapter, when Paul is talking to Peter, here's another situation where Peter has a stronghold of believing in himself that, hey, the Gentiles must be either dietary, that they must come under Jewish customs, and he's hypocritical is what the word uses here. Peter had been set free, I'll just read my notes here, from the stronghold that the Gentiles could not be saved in Acts chapter 10, when he visited the home of Cornelius, and this was 7 to 10 years after Pentecost. Now, 15 to 18 years, and you can check this out because this might not be exactly right, after Pentecost, the stronghold of the Gentiles having to live after the manner of the Jews is another stronghold. Paul continues in verse 15. He says this, we who are Jews by nature, he's correcting Peter, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We'll continue on down through 21. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. He's saying, Peter, look, if Christ has set us free not to have to attend to Jewish customs and laws and the dietary laws, and you live after that, and yet you're now turning and saying the Gentiles should follow our previous customs and laws. He says, if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And I also, he's saying something here. He's asking, is Christ the minister of sin? Christ set us free from these things. And you're saying that if we have to abide to these things, then is Christ telling us to sin? Absolutely not. He's trying to give that logic. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. So Paul knew that through the law, the testimony of Christ had come. Paul knew the law more than probably any of the other apostles. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Here's our famous verse. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead or died in vain. So how could, this is amazing to me, and I'm not suggesting that Peter's prayer life was anything less than Paul's, but here's a man that first knew the scripture. What was the scripture then? A lot, you know, our thoughts is that when Paul talks about scripture, or the apostles talk about scripture, or when it said that the apostles were giving themselves to daily reading the scripture, we think sometimes it's the scripture that we have in the, it wasn't. The New Testament wasn't written. The scripture that they were searching was the Old Testament. It was the 39 books of the Old Testament. So we understand that that was the scripture that the apostles were studying, and Paul knew that, and Paul had memorized that, and that was where he was at, and he was above in many ways the other apostles, and having the fullness of the law, possibly the whole thing memorized. So how could a man, this was going to be my question, how could a man that possibly never saw Jesus, actually interacted with him, never saw him physically, we don't know, maybe Paul ran into Jesus, I don't know, physically before he was born again, we don't know. If he did, he was not a believer. He actually became a persecutor of the church. How could a man, Paul, that possibly never saw Jesus, correct a man that physically walked with him? That's amazing. You would think a man that physically walked 3.5 years with a man would know the doctrine of that man even more so than somebody that never seen him. And yet we see a man that really possibly, I can't prove it, never saw him, actually stands up and corrects another man that was with him. Two sources. He had the law in fullness working inside of him. And Paul says over in Corinthians, I pray in tongues more than you all. And he gives the source of his revelation knowledge. And I'm not saying that Peter was not praying as much as Paul, but there came a point in which the Holy Spirit was able to pass extreme levels of revelation knowledge over to Paul, so that Paul was able, even if, how intimidating would it be to try to correct an apostle? I certainly wouldn't do it. And yet Paul had the wherewithal through the Holy Scripture and praying excessively in other tongues. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 14:18. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And yet he identifies this, and this is a whole nother teaching. I'm sorry I'm skipping over this so quickly, but as I said, it's more of a devotional than anything. Verse 19, I'll read both of them together. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Paul was revealing one of the chief sources of accessing revelation knowledge was praying in other tongues. And he said, I would rather speak just a limited amount that I may teach you also. Well, when he says also, he's saying the revelation knowledge that I got through praying in tongues, I'll give it to you also in the church, because me standing in the church praying in other tongues is not going to teach you anything. Hallelujah. Let me tell you once again and reiterate the importance of, for us to have this outpouring, you got to have this. You got to love it. You got to study it. You got to read it. And pray in tongues, because you need a teacher. Otherwise, you'll get into fables and you'll believe something that's contrived of your own thought process. But none of us are going to do that, are we? We're going to keep praying in tongues and reading the King James Version. I'm going to say that. Hallelujah. Well, and so Pastor Homer says he reads the New King James. We're going to honor that. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. We thank you for this, your presence tonight and the Word of God. We pray that as we go out of here tonight, your strength will be upon us, your grace will be upon us. And Lord, we bless the body and we bless those that are watching tonight. We love them, Father. We love you so much. And we commit them unto you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you have something you want to give tonight, there's an offering box in the back. Amen.